MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Friday, June 21, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. The Beverly Library closes due to excess heat. The governor signs revenge porn bill. A boat accident in Gloucester. And Peabody Schools likely to add to their migrant population.
I'm Bill Newell, and a bit later in sports, we'll tell you about a St. John's Prep athlete who has had some historical successes. Rick?
All right, thanks, Bill. Sun and clouds today, highs near 80, high tide Gloucester Harbor, 11:40 a.m. and 11:42 p.m. The Beverly Library closed yesterday due to ineffective air conditioning. Paul Layton of the Salem News reports today that temperatures in the library reached the 70s and 80s with the air conditioner on. It was about 2 months ago when the Beverly City Council rejected a proposal to fix the HVAC system after estimated costs rose from $3.75 million to $18 million. Peabody City officials broke ground on a new public safety headquarters yesterday afternoon. Salem News reporter Caroline Enos writes today that the new three-story facility will combine the police department and fire headquarters into one building. The building is set to open in 2026. Governor Maura Healey yesterday signed a bill banning revenge porn, expanding protections against abuse and exploitation.
We know that there have been gaps in laws and policies in this area. We also know that this is a new area in the sense of AI and what is being enabled out there. Particularly, you know, stories continue to be told about young people and what's happening too in this space. And so I really appreciate the decisive action taken by the legislature. It's an honor to be able to stand here and support and sign this into law, because it is legislation that takes necessary and decisive steps to update, to modernize, and to strengthen laws to protect residents of this state. The law also provides, importantly, in addition to some updates to criminal statutes, the law also provides what we all know and believe is important: educational programming for young people. The need for them to understand how harms can occur, why they're wrong, how to recognize and avoid participating and perpetuating that harm.
Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll added that the process to continue to address the issue advances on several fronts.
In fact, this afternoon we're hosting a listening session with survivors across the state as this work will continue. They're raising awareness, supporting survivors, and changing not only our laws, but also our culture for the better. That's why the educational component of this law is especially important. It creates a diversion program for minors who share explicit images to teach them about the dangers of sexting. It allows minors charged with possessing or distributing nude images of other minors to be tried as juveniles in juvenile court. And it requires DESE, our Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, to encourage school districts to implement age-appropriate instruction on media literacy skills for all grade levels. As a mayor and a former chair of a school committee, that's critically important that we have the tools that we need at the local level.
That's Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll. Four boaters were treated for injuries yesterday morning after their inflatable boat struck the Blinman Drawbridge in Gloucester that was shut in the down position. Ethan Foreman of the Gloucester Times reports that there were not any critical injuries. Traffic was snarled in the area for quite some time while the boaters were being treated. A GoFundMe page has been set up for the family of 17-year-old Kai Burgos of Saugus, who was shot and killed this past weekend near the Market Basket in Lynn. Daily Item reporter Kellen Flynn reports that Burgos is survived by his parents George Burgos and Jane Thramer, as well as his two sisters Sarah and Ocean. The Peabody City Council Committee on Finance met last night and reviewed the school department budget. The issue of educating the migrant population in the city was raised by Councillor Thomas Gould. School Superintendent Dr. Josh Fidala stated the city now has 80 migrant students.
We're anticipating some students coming in to kindergarten next year. We'll do the registration throughout the summer, but we had about 80 students this year. We started the year at 42, and we had different rounds where we received more students because they came in when the state consolidated their shelter system. And so Peabody received an additional students throughout the year in December and January.
And are they all levels, K through 12?
Yes, they are all levels. We have a small number of students at the high school, a number of students at the Higgins, primarily they're elementary or younger. Most of the students, about half, I would say, of our students from the shelters are at the elementary level, mostly split between two schools, the McCarthy and the South. And we're looking to see, you know, when we register our students, what's the best way for kindergarten, what's the best way to provide those students with an education. Originally, we just do it by geographic location. So there are you know, some of the areas where they're living are within the McCarthy, some are within the South, and we'll look to see if that is a sustainable plan. About mid-year, we said we can't add any more to one of the schools, and we didn't. You know, and we said this school's full right now, and we were able to provide transportation to a different elementary school.
Migrant students are coming from a variety of locations and speak a variety of languages.
So it's interesting where the students have come from. Most of them are multi-language speakers, so they do speak some English. They're not wholly proficient. So a handful of the students are better than others. But we do see students who speak Haitian Creole, some speak Portuguese, some speak Spanish, because most of them are of Haitian descent. But when they came, they came to the country through Venezuela or through Argentina, and so they picked up other, and some of them came through Brazil. So if they lived in Brazil for a little while, the kids do speak some Portuguese as well, and we do have a number of Portuguese-speaking staff members, so they're able to communicate in that language as well. But they're learning English, and they're getting better and better. And some have come, some of the parents are pretty proficient in English, and they're able to help. And the kids, the younger the student, the easier it is for them to learn English through the assimilation. The older the student is, more difficult. As we get older, to learn another language is a little more challenging for us as well.
That's Peabody School Superintendent Dr. Josh Fadala. Sports next with Bill Newell, then more from last night's Peabody City Council Finance Committee meeting, featuring a discussion on the expanded role of school administrators in the public schools.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics are getting ready for today's Duck Boat Parade to celebrate the team's 18th NBA title. The Red Sox were off last night. Tonight, they'll open up a series with the Reds in Cincinnati. St. John's Prep standout athlete Jake Vanna has been a part of seven Division I state championships. Salem News executive sports editor Phil Stacey reports today, along with MIAA historian Jim Clark, that this is a record in itself. That is four lacrosse titles, two ice hockey titles, and one soccer title. Jake Vanna will be attending Princeton this fall, and earlier this year he told us why he chose Princeton.
I was pretty fortunate during my recruiting process. I had a couple of great options outside of Princeton, which I was super fortunate for, but when I went down there, the campus was unreal. It reminded me of St. John's in terms of how open it was and like the unreal buildings, and I also fell in love with the guys on the team. Like, when I went down there and I was talking to them, I kind of meshed super well with them. So that was a big thing. But honestly, it just felt like at home from day one. It was the first visit I went on, and right when I was there, like, even my dad told me after, or my dad didn't tell me after, but, like, after I committed, he told me, he was like, I knew you were going to go there, just because the way I was and how happy and how comfortable I seemed to be when I was there. But, yeah, all the thanks goes to my parents on that one. They were awesome during it. They didn't try to persuade me to any school. They wanted me to go to exactly where I wanted and nothing else. So all thanks to my parents.
St. John's Prep standout athlete, Jake Vanna. Again, it's All-Star Week begins on Sunday with the opening ceremony at Manning Field and 4-9 All-Star games to take place later in the week. The opening ceremony will be held at 9 at Manning. It will include the presentation of 2024 Aganis Foundation scholarships, 5 major awards, and the introduction of this year's Aganis All-Stars in the following sports: girls and boys lacrosse, softball, baseball, girls and boys basketball, girls and boys soccer, and football. After that ceremony, the games begin with a lacrosse doubleheader at Manning Field. The girls at 11, the boys at 1, with softball and baseball to be played at adjacent Frazier Field at noon and 2 p.m. respectively. Action continues on Monday with the boys and girls basketball doubleheaders at Classical High School. Boys at 5:30, girls at 7. The girls and boys soccer games will be played on Tuesday at Manning Field. Girls at 5, boys at 6:30. And then the 62nd Aganis All-Star football game will close out the week on Wednesday night at Manning Field with the game kickoff at 6 o'clock. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Friday, an outstanding weekend. North Shore Today Extra is next.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra. Today we're going to feature an extended audio clip from last night's Finance Committee meeting with the Peabody City Council as City Councilor at Large John Turco questions Peabody School Superintendent Josh Fidala on administrative positions and salaries in the city of Peabody. Again, from Peabody Community Access TV.
Okay. And my last question, and I really hope to not be offensive to you at all, because as I said, I'll never take away from you that you care about education, you care about what you do. I don't think anybody could ever say that. But to Councilor Rosenthal's point, it seems like the administration is a little top-heavy from when I got on the council. Seems like you've added a few assistant superintendent's positions, you've added assistant principals at all the schools, even some schools that have, you know, a very small population of students. It's a number of 7 or 8 executive level positions, I'll call them, and you've maintained that you'll see the fruits of that at some point. Some of those positions have already been in effect, and one of the things that I heard during a early school committee meeting, I think it was our presentation for Ms. Randall, where she said that 50% of the freshman class was failing at least one of the 4 major subjects. Nobody seemed to be alarmed by that. I think a statement was actually made that they weren't alarmed by it. I was alarmed by it. Shouldn't we see some of the fruits of those labors are already? And that seems to be, again, to me, I'm not in education, seems to be a very alarming fact. So have these positions helped? Where are we seeing it now? Because they've been in for a little while now.
Absolutely. It's a great question. It's an important question. And I think that there's a little bit of a misunderstanding around the number of administrators that we have in this district. And I can go back and I can show everybody there are less administrators today than there were the day I was hired. So we have reduced the number of administrators, specifically in Unit B, from the day I was hired. We have repurposed positions and made them more useful. For example, we used to have a PLA director. We don't have that position anymore. That was a big salary that only oversaw 30 kids. And so now we are able to maintain that program through a lead teacher, who's a Unit A position, and we repurposed that position to a STEM director that focuses on science and technology for all 6,000 kids. And so we've been able to, with that position, we've been able to bring in new math curriculum this year, new science curriculum at the middle school, and we're improving our resources and our support for teachers. There have been positions that have been completely eliminated and reduced at the administrative level. We've always had assistant principals at the elementary level, so those were not, I didn't add any of those. They've always been there. What we've done is we've pulled them out of the classroom so they can be more effective. In years past, there were paid an administrative salary to teach a class, and if they needed to respond to an event, they left their class unattended, or they had to open the door and someone had to cover their class, and that wasn't good for kids. So we pulled them out of the classroom, and some of the things that we're seeing is When I arrived, we had 8 elementary schools, and 7 of the 8 principals were hired from outside the district, and it takes time and energy and money to onboard those people. I've hired 3 elementary principals. They're all from within, and it's because we have assistant principals that have built their leadership capacity and are able to support teachers, and they hit the ground running. And you'll see in each of those 3 schools, their star reading and math scores have accelerated because they know our program. And now all the elementary assistant principals that I've hired and all the middle school assistant principals that I've hired have all been from within. So we're building that leadership capacity and we're strengthening our bench, but we're doing so by adding more things to the administrative responsibility and the support that they provide. And we're eliminating positions that, you know, were sort of one-off positions that maybe didn't benefit the entire district. So when I hear that we're top heavy, if we look at, you know, where we are compared to the rest of the state, we only have 3% of our salaries going to administration, which is less than anyone on the North Shore. So we spend less money on administration than any district on the North Shore. And we do so because we have strategically built our organization so that we're maximizing what all of these positions do, and we're adding to that. And so we don't have an administrator in charge of 30 kids anymore. We're spreading the wealth, but we're doing so strategically. And, you know, I think we're doing some really good things, and I'm glad that we're bringing the team back, because I do think, you know, for example, have we seen the fruits of the labor? Every school last year, chronic absenteeism went down. So we've gone from 45% chronically absent at the high school to less than 20.
I missed that. Every school did what last year?
Chronic absenteeism, which is, you know, during COVID, ran rampant. 45% of the high school was absent 10% or more. Now we're under 20%. And so across the district, every single school has cut their chronic absenteeism in half. So more kids are coming to school because we have these positions that are designed to support kids, support teachers, to bring kids in. And so, you know, we've done a number of those things. And so step one is get the kids in. Step two is improve the curriculum resources that we have. And you'll start to see those. And we're seeing it in the testing that the kids are doing in school through our star reading and math, and we're going to start seeing it on MCAS, but we're already seeing it in terms of the kids are coming to school, discipline referrals are down, you know, we're doing a lot better things. Those have to happen first. We're supporting our kids by investing in counseling and things like that, and we will see these huge increases in the coming years. And, you know, it's been a very systematic way of building, but we are seeing the fruits of the labor already. And I think the MCAS is the big one that we want to see, because that's what gets reported out publicly. But when they do that, our graduation rate is up, our dropout rate is down, and, you know, you'll start to see those scores continue to go up.
Thank you, Doc. And those are all great numbers, and I really appreciate the explanation on the assistant principal, because it does make perfect sense to me, the way you said it. But again, just to go back to, you know, 50% of the freshman class is failing at least one subject, how do we correct that with the administrators that you've put forward and said to Councilor Rossignol that, you know, you'll see these improvements? That again, I don't know how people aren't concerned about that, but that is extremely concerned. It's bothered me since it was said that, you know, the basis of education, 4 major subjects, that half of our kids are failing one of those subjects. It just doesn't make sense to me.
And the majority of those kids were failing due to attendance. And so that number was from last school year, not this school year. So when that was presented, those numbers were released from last school year. And so we're still seeing a little bit of the after effects of COVID, but the big piece of that was attendance. Most of them are failing due to attendance. And so they're unable to make up the work and things like that because they're not in, and we have an attendance policy. They've taken huge steps to improve that, and we're seeing definitely the fruits of that labor. This year's number will be less than 50%. 50% is not acceptable, and we want to make sure that we address that. But you'll see each year it's going to get better and better and better until we bring that number significantly down. But that was last year. It was Ms. Randall's first year as the principal. She's identified that as a goal for hers and for her team, and attendance has improved, and now academics will. So you got to get them there first. And attendance is improved, and we will see the academics improve. But that number is not acceptable, and we will do better.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate that. And I did forget to touch on, I mentioned the 104 a day. Are there any other funding sources
That is City Councilor at Large John Turco, again, with an informative exchange with the school superintendent, Dr. Josh Vidala. That entire meeting can be viewed on Community Access Television. This is North Shore Today Extra, and this is MSONewsSports.com.